There are some things that are happening, great and mighty things. The Bible said, ask of me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you've never known. You know, you think I'm strong sometimes in my preaching. My, you ought to just read the Word of God. I mean, read it and just consider. Jesus was sure enough strong in his preaching. When he preached, I mean, he told it like it was. Chapter 10, the book of St. John, if you've got your Bibles, you can read with it. Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, this is not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. It was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blaspheming, and because thou being a man makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, it is not written in your law, I say ye are gods. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, But all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him. You know, I'm just a little bit grieved. Something happened a few minutes ago that was real hypocritical. It was hypocrisy, and I caught the spirit of it just as it was taking place. And God isn't pleased with it. Still on my heart right now, real grieved. You know, the Bible said, I'll trouble them that trouble you, and it's not profitable. The Lord said it's not profitable for you to grieve the minister, because he is the minister of God. He beareth not the sword in vain. Will you then not be afraid for conscience' sake? For he is set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. And he has the power to bless you or to curse you if he's a real man of God. And a lot of times, though he doesn't desire to curse you, as to say something concerning you, you know, like Paul spoke, he just spoke like that. And a man was blind just instantly. And Peter spoke to a couple of people, man and woman is dead just like that, and killed them. And we spoke to people, and they're dead, they're gone, numbers of them, they're dead and gone. We spoke to them in the name of the Lord, women and men alike, and they're dead and gone. Young boys and girls too, as well as the others. But a man done something a while ago, just a little while ago, that God is going to get him for. It was a hypocritical thing, and the Lord is very displeased with it. The man's very carnal, and I was telling somebody the other day just how carnal the man really is. And the man, he connived that in his mind to do that, like Ananias and Sapphira. Connived it in his mind, and he thought he would offset it, and nobody would notice it. But God noticed it. It'd been better had he not done that, because it was a hypocritical thing. And the man's in trouble with God because of it, especially to be pull a hypocritical thing like that in the church. And he's in bad circumstance. And I fear for him and his wife and children, or for the family because of that. There was a vision where one of his children was killed out here in this road right here. And he really needs to do something, because I've tried my best to reach him. And he's determined that when it comes to the natural, he's going to put it before God and try to work that thing out. And I feel like the Lord's gone about as far as he's going to go with him without putting him through the fire and shaking him up and letting him know that he means business. I really prayed for him. I really have. He has cunningly done his thing wherever he wanted to go, whatever he wanted to do. And always, when it comes to doing something for God, can't be with the brethren. He can't be in church, but just every once in a while, and takes the benefits of the brethren and just trusts us to luck as to anything else that might be beneficial to the brethren. Some of you have gotten in that kind of condition, folks, and that's bad. The judgments of the Lord are coming. I keep telling you, and though God will bear long with you because you might be a fine moral person, this person is a very fine moral person, but they're not a Christian. They need to be born again, and they're just not a Christian. And because of that, they're controlled by their carnal mind as to social securities and natural benefits and things as pertaining to them and the family. And they really need to get a born-again experience. It's very bad, because in the last few months, I saw this coming a long time ago, in the last few months, they have almost lost their soul to the extent that they put God down for natural things. And I said some things that shook them up, especially at men's meeting. And they began to get their balance a little bit, but I see that they've lost it again. And this time, I feel like that unless something happens, they're not going to get it anymore. I feel like they're gone this time because of the hypocritical thing they've done. And I'm not going to make any effort to reprove them, say nothing to them, unless God puts it on my heart. I'm going to let them be gone this time. So you'll be hearing from it, and after it happens, I'll tell you, I'll say, you remember a certain morning, because I told you over and over, and these things happen, and I bring them back to your members. Because like I was telling some of the boys, they need to walk soft, they need to be careful, because the day before yesterday, I believe it was, I saw the vision of death. And it had to do with the death of some of the youth. So girls was involved in it too, because I saw girls' purses. And it was a horrible, hideous thing. And you need to really wake up. I got a man here that he won't come in. He's sitting here right now. He won't come in. This man is very religious. He comes to church pretty much with a regularity. And occasionally he gives them the offerings, and occasionally he does something to help them. And but he still ain't right with God. And he's going to have trouble in his home. I've already seen it coming. He's going to have trouble in his home with his family. And I've tried to talk to this man, but this man is so confident in himself and in his ability that he thinks he can handle his wife and children, and he can't do it. He's not handling them now. He has confided in himself to the extent that he has handled his children, but he don't know what's going on already. See, he doesn't understand what has happened already. And he's very confident that he can handle the situation. But I can't tell him anything, you know. Though he's heard me preach, and though he knows it's right, and though he believes it, yet as to incorporate this in his own life, as to for his stability in Christ, or he won't do it. I don't know why the Lord is dealing with me this morning, but I still hear him talking. There's another man. He's dealing with me about another man. This other man is sitting here too. And this other man is Seth Will. He's very Seth Will, and he's a cunning, foxy type person. Jesus said one time concerning a man, he said, go tell that fox. This man's very foxy. He also is very overconfident. He feels like he can handle the situation. And though it has been a perplexity of life, all his life, it still hasn't learned him anything. He's still of the opinion that he can handle it. And because of this, it's going to cause him some bad trouble. He's already had some rough places. But he's going to have some trouble that when God gets through, it's going to shake him in such a way that if there is any hope for him, he'll get straightened out. The way it's going now, there don't seem to be that much hope for him unless he does something. You know, people come and sit in my audience, and sometimes they're murderers. I've had them to come in, they'd be murderers. And some of them are thieves, and some of them are robbers, and some of them are all kind of perverted people. And they come and sit in the audience. And I try not to say anything about them, you know, because like I said, I don't like to be embarrassed. You know, and I try to avoid embarrassment as much as I know how. I try to avoid embarrassment. And I don't like to be embarrassed. My wife will tell you, all of my life, I was always the kind of person that I was easily embarrassed. And I'd say, Betty, don't raise your voice if you get upset. Wait till we get home. And the children, I'd say, don't act out of sorts. Wait till we get home and let's settle this thing at home. And, of course, that don't set well with a woman sometimes. She says, you're a hypocrite, and she'll just blade out and everybody will hear it. And she don't understand. She's sorry when she does it later, but she'll do it. And children will do the same way. Sad to say some men will do that, but women are bad about doing that, which they don't understand. They injure the cause of God when they do a thing like that. But anyway, I'm saying these things to you because we've got people sitting here this morning that they're in those kind of conditions. And what, you know, when I reason in my natural, the way I reason is that I should call every one of them out and have them stand up here. But I know that if I do that, it's going to crush them. I know that. If I call them up here, it's going to crush them. Or you might say, Brother Pike, they might deny it. That wouldn't be worth 15 cents to me for them to deny it. If God tells me something, it wouldn't matter if they stood on their head. It's just like he said. But the thing is, I hate to crush somebody. I've had a number of cases, like I had a man down here, the Lord told me something. I went to him, he said, oh, no, no, no. I said, ain't no need to lie about it. I said, that's exactly what it is. No, absolutely not. And then after so long a time, he began to bawl, and he come back and said, I lied to you. Like I had another man down here done the same thing. I had a man the other day, he told me he stayed out of church because of such and such. He's been out of church numbers of times. As far as I know, he's out of church this morning. I feel that unless something happens, he's going to die and go to hell. And he's been out a number of times. And I talked to him, and he kept making excuses. So I kept trying to work with him, and finally I said something to him. I said, why was you out of church? And he told me, I thought, no, you're lying. That's not why you was out of church. I thought, you're lying. And I just went on. I said, well, okay. I said, one of these days you're going to stay out one time too many, and you're going to die and go to hell. So it tore him up, and he followed me to my door. And said, Brother Pike, please don't throw me down. He said, I lied to you. See, folks, the Bible said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. When a man will stay out of church to go to work, when a man will stay out of church just to stay home or to ramble or to go, don't never do nothing to help the work of God, just does his own thing, that man ain't been born again. The same devil that makes him do that is the devil that will make him lie. And when he does that, it means there's something worse underneath somewhere. And if you dig it up, you'll find that out. You little find a little old baby snake running around out here. All you got to do is just catalog it in your mind. There's a male and a female, mom and daddy snake, as we say somewhere. They might be hid under the rock, but they're there. See, and this is why that I preach like I do, and this is why I say the things I do. Since I've been talking about these, another man, condemnation hit him so strong, it swept over him just like a tornado had struck him. Yeah, and he felt sure that I was talking about him. But I wasn't talking about him at all. I was talking about somebody else. But the reason the condemnation swept over him is because he knows he's not doing right. He knows he's not doing right. And I keep telling him as I preach, he's not doing right, and he better quit playing around. And folks, listen to me. I'm telling you from my heart, you better quit your filthy doings when it comes to man and wife and your homes and whatever. All you hear me, better listen to me. You better quit your filthy doing, because God's going to bring you into the judgment for it. You remember that, everyone who hears me. God isn't going to make any allowance for it, whether it be you, me, or whoever it is. God is going to bring you into the judgment for that. And a lot of times some of you are under heavy condemnation because this is your guilt. And I'm telling you, you know, you're supposed to pay your bills. You're supposed to walk upright. You're supposed to do the right thing. You're supposed to have a clean home. You're supposed to have a clean heart. You're supposed to have a clean mind. You know, and if you don't stop your way of doing, you're going to be in bad circumstances. All right, I don't know why the Lord had me sell them things this morning, but there must be a reason. There must be a reason. See, Mark's in service with us this morning, and I kept trying to figure out who that was. I just don't know. Miss Mark. We're glad to have Mark with us. I think Billy was saying something the other day about wanting to straighten up his life, you know. And how are you glad to be here this morning? You love real, genuine godliness and holiness and righteousness. Some of you look at yourself before we get into this morning. All this is preaching anyway, you know. As I say so often, Jesus would just talk with you. But look at yourselves. Some of you look at the sickness you've got. Look at the problems you've got, financial problems. Look at the different things that's wrong with you. Just think it over. Your spiritual depletion. Look at it. See, I preached to you. I told you. That's why you're in the condition you're in. Look at the defilement of your own life and your own home and the wrecked up mess because you wouldn't listen at me or listen to the minister. See, and if you go farther, it's going to be worse. When Jesus healed, he said, now a worse thing will come upon you. If you don't go your way and straighten out. Look at you. The young boys and girls, look at the condition that you're in right now. You came here X amount of years ago. I preached to you. There wasn't anything wrong with you. Numbers of you. Police records on the verge of going to prison. And had we not stressed things as strong as we did, you would probably have gone to the electric chair. And if the people of God had not really prayed and believed God for you, you'd have probably been in a wreck and been dead. By the skin of your teeth, as the Bible says, you've survived and you're here today. You're here today to hear the truth. So then, it is a lot of times your last chance. Numbers of them have been here in the service, young and old alike, when the Lord would deal with me. And I'd tell you, I'd say, folks, something's wrong. Or I'd say, I see death over here in this area or over here. And I'd be looking right at the individual. I think, Lord, that one, you're fixing to take that one out. Something's got to happen and happen, but they're dead and they're gone. They're not with us anymore. See, and a lot of times God brings you here. I've been very uneasy for a number of days now because something is about to happen. And, you know, when you walk in the Spirit, you're sensitive to the Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, you can feel it. When an unholy spirit comes, you can feel it. It's like wintertime. You know, you can feel the winter wind. You can feel, it doesn't have to just get cold overnight. You can feel it coming. Just like now, we can tell fall setting in. We can feel it. See, and the same way, you can feel summer. Just as spring begins to break, you can feel that. Down in Egypt, the Bible said it was so dark that they could feel the darkness. Could you imagine darkness being so great that you could actually... Somebody said, just reach out and take a handful and feel it. Now, that wasn't what it meant. Feeling the darkness, it was the oppression upon their nerve system, like the cold wind blowing on your nerves. It was so dark, it affected their mental faculties and their eyesight and nerves, their nerves, until they could feel it within the vibrance of their body. It was such an oppressing thing that it just become interwoven with their nerve. You know, it's getting dark out there, folks. It's getting real dark. I can feel it. It's getting real dark. Being sensitive to the Spirit, I can feel it. And some of you are children of darkness that are listening to me. And I can feel it when I get near you or when you get near me. See, I can feel it. And some of you are what the Bible calls false brothers and false sisters. Paul said, I was in peril of false brothers and false sisters. See, that is, there is an infiltration in the church that's called spots and blemishes. Very religious, just like Cain was. But they're there to spy out your liberties, to try to hear something against you or find out what you're saying so they can run with it. And they're trying to find out just how the church is so they can blast it or tear it down. See, these are spots and blemishes in your feast of love or charity in that God is love. And there are these people, as it was in the days of Job, when the sons of God came to present themselves, the sons of Satan came also. There are human bodies in which Lucifer lives, just like there are human bodies in which Christ lives. See, and these human bodies come to church because they're all under grace as long as the blood is on the seat of atonement. And their mind, they don't have any desire for spiritual things. All they can think of is the flesh. The flesh. You know, just to go out into the world, to love, to hug and kiss, to mix, to buy, to eat, to drink, to ride, to frolic, to be a base in their minds and in their doings, to cheat, to swindle, to connive, to manipulate. Anything is to their own advantage. Looking for social benefits, for wealth and power, prestige, preeminence. Wanting to be called a men rabbi, have the chief seats in the synagogues, and salutations in the marketplaces. See, this is the condition of the world. I have to deal with that. I come up here, and I have to deal with that. So, well, you don't know, Brother Pike. Yes, I do know. The Bible says the child is known by his doings. I could this morning, unless the Lord hid it from me, take every one of you and not miss a one of them, be down to the children, and go down the line, and unless he hid it, tell you exactly your nature and your future. Just as exactly like Jacob did when he told his 12 sons their future. It fell to the line exactly that way. Every son that he told, as to what he told him, that's what he came to. And just like you, you've got your little children at home. You know your little children. You know their nature. You know what they are. You know what they're doing. You know the kind of minds they've got. And I'm telling you, some of you, I'm telling you in the name of the Lord, that some of you are walking on thin ice. You're in some dangerous places. You're in some slick places, and God's done dealt with you about as long as he's going to deal with you. And he's either going to ship you off to prison and let you serve a prison term, or he's going to put you in the electric chair. Or, remember, the Bible said, Father, lead us not into temptation. Don't get the idea that the devil does all of that. The Bible says, we pray, Father, lead us not into temptation. Can evil come to a city? And I've not sinned it, saith the Lord. The preparation of man's heart is from me. I'm the one that wounds, he said. I'm the one that binds up. See, so we pray, Father, don't lead us into temptation. That is, don't allow the devil to come down and tempt us as you did in the days of Job when he tempted Job and all those sorrows and heartaches come. See, don't allow him to afflict us. God takes credit for everything because he's a supreme controller. And it don't happen unless he allows it. So, there's some of you here that's in that kind of condition. You're in that kind of condition. And I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to talk with you. I'm trying to get you ready for the great day to come. We sang that song, there's a great day of coming. And I try to get you ready for that great day. See, so that you'll understand, boys and girls, you boys and girls, you understand. You've been raised up in a Christian atmosphere. Jesus at 12 years old was about his father's business. Astounded the wise men. If he had that kind of understanding, and he grew in the knowledge just like you grow in the knowledge. If he did that, then surely you younger fellows here know at least enough to straighten up and walk right. Take care of the campground, take care of the facilities, not do the evil things that you do. I saw a little one sitting here in a vision the other night. I spoke. I wasn't going to mention it to his dad, but his dad kept quizzing me about some things. But this little boy, he was just about to drive me wild. He was from one thing to another thing. From one thing to another thing. And in the vision, he was just about to drive me wild. And sure enough, that little boy is. He's in his neighbor's trees over there getting things. Some of you go over to your neighbor's yard, they've had to put up a fence. They ask you not to do it. See, and you do all kind of things with your bikes. You do all kind of things. Tear up things, break things, mess with things. And this little fella is one of the chief leaders. But in the vision, something was going to happen to him. It appeared that if somebody didn't do something about it. I mentioned it to his dad when he come around to that. And, folks, you need to stop and think. You overseers, I say this so often, you overseers, you better stop and think. Because as far as I know, I told you here one time before when I took a whole lot of overseers out, put some more in, and I gave some of you the second chance. But you overseers, if you don't start watching after God, it's going to be sorrow, it's going to be death, it's going to be heartache. You don't start watching after things, watching after the children of God, or get out of that position, get out of there and leave it alone, because he's going to get you. See, I tell you again, if those things in Washington are so valuable, that those senators are to be esteemed very highly as celebrities, dignitaries, then that compared to this is junk, nothing. Paul called it beggarly elements. And if this is of God, and these things are of God, and these ordinations are of God, then that means that this ordination is so divine that heaven and earth will call you to witness. Even with Stephen, all they did was set Stephen over the widows and the orphans to feed them. That's all he did. And yet, because the office was so great and people opposed Stephen's, God opened the heavens and let Stephen's see Jesus at the right hand of the Father. It was that great in the ordination of his office and what he said. And these offices, the Bible said, he that overcometh, I will give to him to eat of the hidden manna. Many of you have never eaten of the hidden manna. You will never eat of the hidden manna. I've eaten of the hidden manna. There's some others have eaten of the hidden manna. But the Bible said that's only to them that overcomes the flesh. If your inner spiritual man overcomes the flesh and masters the flesh, puts it to silence. But many of you have never overcome the flesh. You've never put it to silence. You've never eaten of the hidden manna. You're worldly minded. The love of the world's in you. And the Bible says the love of the world's there. The love of the Father's not in you. And see, Jesus said to him that overcometh, I will give him a new name. I will give him of the hidden manna. He promised to bless them that overcome in this world and in the world to come, to give them the desires of their heart here and in the world to come, to give them eternal life. He promised to give this to them. So I say these things to you because I want to help you. I want to help you. But many of you have never gone into those things, and you'll never go into them. You'll never go into those things. You'll come to church all of your life, and you'll hear the preacher all of your life, but you'll never get into the Spirit. The Bible says the God of this world, even Lucifer, has blinded your eyes that you can't see. You won't see when good comes. Though you'll be all around it, you'll hear it with your ears, but there'll never be a conception in the heart. There'll never be a perceiving in the heart. It'll never come. Never. We're glad to have you. Glad to have Brother Mike back from his world trip. He's been around the world now. Went all the way around the world, and he just come back today. And he's here with us, and he was telling us of the need that he saw doing his trip. And he's telling us how that there's numbers of places that it would really be beneficial for us to go into. And he'd done a lot of good himself from what I could tell. We've been in places all around the world. And everywhere that we've been, it's needy, very needy. And we want to do something. All right, I'm going to talk with you just a few minutes from the scripture here. And I just felt like exhorting some of you this morning because I see you headed for the falls. It's a little hard to pedal upstream. But I tell you what, if you just float downstream, go with the tide, whatever the flesh wants, just go ahead and follow it. You're going to find yourself at the bottom of the falls because you're going to be killed for sure. And there's a reason. And you young fellows, listen at me again. I don't know why the Lord keeps pressing this for me to talk with you like this. But you young fellows and you young girls too, you young girls are not out of this. You think Brother Pike don't know what's going on. And that the Lord is hid from the Lord. The Bible said his eyes are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil, rewarding every man according to whatever it is. While some of you men have been cheating on your wife, you don't know that they've been cheating on you. So you've been doing a little cheating on the side. Young men and the others a lot. You know, and you've been cheating a little bit on the side. And in doing it, you are so sure of your companion that they're so fine, but I know for sure that they've been cheating on you. You may think everything is one-sided and that you've got it all wrapped up in a little thing you know, and that you've got your companion over here and they're under your control and such, and you can live like an old dog and wallow in the mire like a hog, and that, bless God, they better not do it. But you're going to get the shock of your life. All right, the scriptures can't be broken. I quoted the scripture to you the other night as to what it says. So you young boys, especially you young fellows that's come in, remember, what are you doing? Let me ask you the question, what are you doing here? Well, somebody said, well, I took an ocean to come. No, you didn't. No, you didn't, because you haven't taken an ocean to come for months. A number of years you haven't spent any time in God's house. How did you take an ocean to come? You didn't take an ocean to come. That's not why you're here. Some of you are here because you've gotten into deep trouble and you're facing that judgment and you're scared half to death. And you see that the words of the preacher came to pass. He warned you, you didn't believe it. Now you're a believer, that's why you're here. Others of you that are here, it's not because that you are in the deep trouble, but it's because you have caused God so much trouble and you've been in trouble and God is now drawing you in so that he can warn you for the last time. He draws you in occasionally. You go on and go on, and then he brings you in for a service or two services. And he gives you another warning. Then he lets you go again. You know, it's like trying to reel a fish in. You just let him go, and give him line. But after a while, folks, it's going to come to pass. He's going to give you your last warning. Numbers of boys are different ones that's coming here. I could name them, but it would bring heartaches and memories. See, they came in here. I stood at the altar. I was talking to one's mother the other day. I stood at the altar, put my arms around the young boy, and tears in his eyes. And I said, don't do that. For God's sake, don't do that. Just a young fella. And I was on my knees praying in my room when they broke into my room and said, he's dead, he's been killed. Now, see, I'm trying to tell you, you young boys, you're no different. Don't think because your dad is a preacher, your mother's a Christian, or you've got religious background that that's going to help you. That ain't going to help you. See, the Bible said, and in that day, the Father shall not answer for the sins of the Son, neither shall the Son answer for the sins of the Father. In the Old Testament, it was the visiting of the iniquity down upon the children from the fathers to the third and the fourth generation. But it's not that way today. He said, and in that day, the son will answer for what he does wrong. And the dad will answer for what he does wrong. And the mother for what she does wrong. And the daughter for what she does wrong. So see, he's brought you in again to hear one more time. Now, you're not going to listen at it. Them that are dead, I told them, I said, you're not going to listen at it. I talked to one right down here at the multipurpose building with the tears in his eyes. And I knew he wasn't going to listen. You know, no more than reflect it. Wasn't going to take it into his heart. Wasn't going to incorporate in his life. Fine, as fine a young fellow as I've ever seen. But death got him. And there's a number of you that are here now. Some of you were present when these things occurred. And the Lord told them in the Old Testament, said, you knowing the wrath of God upon these things, said, you still went and done it yourself. Jesus said, how can you escape the damnation of hell having these warnings? Some of you girls, you've been warned over and over. You've been warned over and over. And you still haven't done right. Death is waiting for you. Death is waiting for you. The Bible said you shorten your days by your disobedience. You might say, well, I'm going to get right with God. It doesn't matter. Even if you get right with God, you still shorten your days. You may come and serve God with all diligence, but you've already shortened your days. Whether it's 10 years or 5 years or whatever it is, by you keeping your mind of corruption and going your way in rebellion and doing the things, and I don't mean to get to preaching to you, but, you know, you've shortened your days already. You boys, you men, some of you've shortened your days. It doesn't matter what. You know, I tell you, little children, the Bible said, honor thy father and thy mother, that your days might be long upon the earth that the Lord thy God giveth thee. For this is the first commandment with promise, which means this is the first commandment that you'll find in the Bible that has promise of a gift to you. And that gift is long life. The first commandment with promise is to honor thy father and thy mother, that your days might be long upon the earth. You've been so arrogant, you've talked to your daddy and mother in such a way, shut up, haughty, mean, and your daddy's let you do it like something foolish. And your mother's let you do it, and he shortened your days. It doesn't matter if you straighten up, you shorten your days already. See, children, honor thy parents. Obey them that have the rule over you, even in the church, as to fathers, mothers in the church. Obey your parents in the Lord. Honor them. Listen at what they've got to tell you. They're trying to help you. Well, as I said, I wasn't going to say but a word or two, and I'm right back talking to you again. And maybe it's because of the vision I had of the death of the youth. I don't know. I don't know what. You know, when I say youth, a lot of times somebody says, well, that means I'm single boys and girls. I don't mean single boys and girls. I'm talking about men and women, those that are married. Well, I can get killed as good as you can get killed. And you can get killed as good as they can, or as easily, I say good, as easily as they can get killed. See, no difference. God's no respecter person. You're not special with God. It doesn't matter how you look, what you've got, education, money, you know, more than a speck with God. All of you just like a speck. Unless you come into sonship, or you become his daughter. And then you become great, mighty people. And I'm going to take just a minute or two and talk on this. I can't say much. I've talked on it before. I've done took so much of my time. Otherwise, I'll just say a few words here to substantiate what I'm saying to you as to the other side of the picture. So then they said to Jesus, they said, we're going to stone you. And Jesus said, for what reason do you stone me? Don't you have a reason for it? Can't you give me a reason? They said, well, said you being a man, make yourself God. He said, have I done so many good works among you, and then you want to kill me? They said, for good works, we don't kill you. We appreciate all those things. But said, now, when you make yourself God, he said, we're going to kill you for that. We're going to kill you for that. Now, Jesus had not told them that he was God. All he told them that he was the Son of God. That's all he said. But see, that meant something. Jesus said to them, he said, why do you think I blaspheme because I say that I'm the Son of God? He said, is it not written in the Scriptures, I have called ye gods? Which it is written in the Old Testament. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, through David in the Psalms, said, you're gods, but ye shall die like men. Because you won't indoctrinate yourself with my word. You won't go to church. You'd rather play ball. You'd rather do the things of the world. I've made you gods if you'll believe on me. You were gods from the beginning, unless you want to go out into the world, into the ball games and into the frolics and into the parties and things like that, and make yourself void of the knowledge of God, which is the words of eternal life. He said, you're gods if you receive my word, if you do what I tell you, if you conform to the word. This means you're gods because you're the predestinated of God. He foresaw who would and who wouldn't. But if you do like Esau, sell your birthright. Do like Judas for 30 pieces of silver, sell your birthright. See, what can God do? He said, is it not written that you are gods, and the scriptures cannot be broken? Now, he said, if them that were sent by the Father is called gods, why then do you say that I blaspheme because I say that I am a son of God? See, this is the thing, folks. You are either a beast or ye are a god. There's no in between. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm not a beast, but I'm not a god. No, there is no in between. No in between. Someone would say, well, the Old Testament said that, but the Bible says here, Jesus said, the scriptures cannot be broken. You need to get that into your heart. The scriptures cannot be broken. Now, why did he say that? Why did he make that statement? He made that statement in connection with the statement that he made concerning people being gods. Why did he say that? He didn't have to say that. But he said, ye are gods. Ye are gods, he said. In the scriptures, it is said that ye are gods. He said, ye are gods. He said, and the scriptures cannot be broken. He said, is it not written in the scriptures that ye are gods? And he said, because it says ye are gods, then ye are gods. For the scriptures cannot be broken. He wanted to substantiate what he was saying. He wanted to drive that thing home. He wanted to make them to know what he was saying was absolutely right. And there wouldn't be any changes in there, any alterations in it. He said, folks, you're gods. He said, and the scriptures cannot be broken. They say that you're gods. And of course, Jesus was also the scripture. Jesus was the walking scripture. Jesus was the word of God. And Jesus being the word of God, he said, and the scriptures cannot be broken. Have not I said that ye are gods? Have not I said that ye are gods? Then ye must be gods. Oh, somebody would say, Brother Pike, we can't think like that. It doesn't matter. If Jesus said you're gods, then you're gods. You say, what would people say if I told them that I was a god? It doesn't matter what they say. See, somebody said, you make yourself God? They said to Jesus, we'll stone you to death being a man, make yourself God. See, Jesus is clarifying himself. He's making himself clear in this thing. They said, you say that you're God? Well, we'll stone you to death. And Jesus just offsets what's said there. And he said, in so many words, I didn't say that I was God. See, didn't the scripture say that I'm God? You understand what I'm saying? He could have said, I didn't say that I was God. Didn't the scripture say that I'm God? Is it not written in the scripture that I am called God? So he used it as to you and I. Doesn't the scripture say that you're gods? That is, ain't I one of you? I'm a human being. If the scripture says that we are gods, why do you say I blaspheme? You must not be very good Bible scholars, Jesus could have said. And so then Jesus said, you're gods. Folks, there's no in-between place. We are either gods and we've been born again, and we're the great, wonderful sons and daughters of Christ, are either we are beasts and we don't have any hope of eternal life. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I know that I've got a soul. That's you can't go by that. You know, animals have souls. The dog has a soul. The pig has a soul. Those have a soul because life abides within the soul. So then you can't go by that saying that you are a soul or you are a living soul. You can't go by that. See, the thing is, it doesn't matter if you are a living soul
If you've not been born again, if you've not come to Christ, if you've not had God to come on the inside of your heart, then you still are on your way to hell. You're still lost. You still don't have life. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, I'm a believer. I tell you so often, just being a believer don't mean that you are a Christian. Going to church, there's hundreds and millions of people in the world today that are believers. But that doesn't mean that they are Christians. Jesus did not base salvation and eternal life on the fact that one was a believer. He said, unless you have my spirit, you're none of mine. So you've got to have the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You've got to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. New birth is not just merely believing. I know hundreds and thousands of preachers in the world today teach all you've got to do is believe and you are a Christian. But the Bible tells me that you must be born again. And he said, unless you be born again, you'll never even see the kingdom of God. And the birth consists of water. And the birth consists of blood. And a birth consists of spirit. And if either one of those things are left off, there's problems. And if the spirit is left off, it is a stillbirth, which means there's no life whatsoever. So you can believe all you want to. You can get into these realms in the days of grace on this side of Calvary. You can come into these religious realms and have the blessings from God. You can taste of the heavenly gifts and still fall away. Not be born again and not have His Spirit. So then if you don't have His Spirit, you're none of His. Unless a person is baptized with the Holy Ghost, they have not been born again. I'll get a repercussion out of that. If somebody hears that, I'm sure I'll probably get some fan mail. But unless a person has the infilling of the Holy Ghost, they have not been born again. You must have God's Spirit on the inside of you, or you haven't been born again. I can believe all that I want to. I can be baptized, whether it's in the name of Jesus or in the Trinitarian way of life. It doesn't matter how I'm baptized. One time or two times or three times or one name or two names or three names. It doesn't matter. If I don't have the Spirit of God, I'm none of His. I must be born again. I must have God's Spirit on the inside of me. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I speak in tongues myself. That doesn't mean 15 cents. You know, just because you speak in tongues, that doesn't mean you have the Holy Ghost. Neither does it mean that you have salvation. Someone would say, well, I shout, I'm saying, I shout, I sing for God, I preach for God. I'm very spiritual, Brother Pike. That doesn't mean anything. The rain is on the just and the unjust. It doesn't mean anything at all. The thing is, if you don't have God's Spirit, you're none of His. And you're not born again. So then someone would say, well, you can't tell whether I have it or not, Brother Pike. Or you might say, I'm a Christian. That settles it. That doesn't mean anything. I can tell. A true Christian can tell. The Bible said a child is known by his doings, and his doings is according to his nature. So then if you do holy things, if you think holy things, if you talk holy things, if you look at holy things, if your conversation is holy and in heaven, then you've got the Holy Ghost. But if you don't have that, then you have the spirit of the world. You don't have the Holy Ghost. You've got the spirit of the world. If you want to sit around and watch TV, if you want to go read magazines and newspapers to keep up with the ball games and go out to the Six Flags and the frolics of the world or whatever kind they've got around the world. And you've just got to get to the frolics of the world, and this is on your mind, and this is your feeling and desire of entertainment, and this is your hunger and thirst. And if you're just after the passions all the time, got to mix and mingle in the flesh, eat and drink, that's all you care for, buy, spend money, have a business, make money, do all of these things, just visit with your relatives and go here and there and everywhere, it simply means that you're not born again. You don't have God. There's no way that you could have God. The first thing that the Lord said to Abraham when he really got him straightened up, he said, get thee out of the land of thy kindred. That was the first thing. Get away from your relatives. Get out of the land of your kindred. Stay away from them. And Lot, who came along, was nothing but a vexation to Abraham and a problem. They finally had to separate and go different ways. And even then it proved to be heartaches. And you that are running to and fro to intermingle with your family and your relatives and got to be right in there, don't you know you don't have God? Why, Abraham didn't even have the Holy Ghost. And he did that just having God's Spirit with him. And when the Bible said, get thee out of the land of thy kindred, it makes me to know that my kindred is the flesh. I was born among people of the flesh. I am born in my first birth as flesh and blood. That's my kindred. And I've got to get thee out of the land of the flesh and blood. The Bible said, he that is in the flesh cannot please God. I've got to get out of the intellectual realms of indoctrination, of education, and desire of this world. I've got to get out of the land of my kindred. I've got to get out of the flesh. I've got to walk in the Spirit. And the Bible said, if I do that, I won't fulfill the desires of the lust of the flesh. So I've got to get out of that. I've got to be a different person. I've got to get my mind off of my face, off of my body, off of money, off of eating, drinking, off of passion, off of the things of the world. I've got to get away from that. I've got to forget about careers and these kind of things that belongs to Esau and his family out there. See, the Bible said this is the land of Esau. You're headed for the land of Jacob. We're going over the Jordan, which means the carnal mind. I'm leaving. My spirit is leaving this body. And this body is dead, but the body of the Lord Jesus is buried in baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus. My spirit went back to God who gave it. And today I'm not in the flesh, but I'm in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in me, and it does dwell in me. If you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. So then at death my body was buried. My spirit went back to God who gave it. And I'm waiting out yonder to wit the redemption of my body, Thessalonians change, which is coming to pass. And there will be changed into His likeness. So then I'm not in the flesh. I'm not walking in my craftiness of the flesh or in a foxy way. I'm not trying to manipulate and work things out and con my way through life. I've got an experience with God. God is in my heart. I believe for the things that God give me. I don't try to conjure up nothing. I try to speak the truth. I try to tell people exactly the way that I think Jesus would tell them, and according to what I know of the Holy Spirit. So then we are not in the flesh. And in that we're not in the flesh, that means we're not in the world. Because the flesh is in the world. And I'm dead to the world. And the world is dead to me by the body of the Lord Jesus. If I'm dead to the world and the world's dead to me, then I couldn't be in the world. Because only the living in the flesh are in the world. So if I'm dead to the world, then I could not be in the world. Jesus said, ye are not in this world. You're not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world. When I took you out of the flesh, that was the end of this world. Satan is the god of this world. Satan is the power that's over this world. Satan is the one that rules over the flesh and savors the things that be of the flesh. And I took you out of the control of the powers of the enemy. I gave you all power over the powers of the enemy, even death. And I took you into a heavenly place. And you're in a great dimension up here. You're not in the world, but in heaven. As Jesus talked to Nicodemus, and he said to Nicodemus, no man has ascended up into heaven except the Son of Man that came down from heaven. And I say this again, that same Son of God, flesh and bones, standing on the earth, communicating with Nicodemus, said, I'm in heaven. And Nicodemus looking at him. And Nicodemus couldn't figure that out. He was in heaven. Now then, where am I? The Bible said I'm hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Rejoice ye that are in heaven. For you're not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world. I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the day of the change of your body, the restitution, or the restoring. That is to say, the millennium. So then, folks, if you don't have God's Spirit, you didn't go into that world. Because that's a world of spirit. It doesn't matter how much you believe. If you believe there's one God, you're religious. But the devil also believes, but he's not a Christian because he doesn't have God's Spirit. And so then, you are in this world, but I'm not in this world. Ye are of this world, but I'm not of this world. See, I'm not in this world because I'm dead to this world. And I don't have the world on the inside of me because when you're born into this world, you're born with your spirit, and that's the world. In that Satan is the prince of this world, he's interwoven with your spirit. He's your master. But when I was born again, my spirit went into God's spirit. And today my spirit and God's spirit is one spirit. My spirit and God's spirit is one spirit, which means the kingdom of heaven is within me. When Satan, the spirit of Lucifer, the god of this world, is in your spirit, then the world is in you and the love of the world is in you. And the love of the Father could not possibly be there. But when the spirit of Christ comes into your heart, then the infiltration goes out, as it was with Noah's ark. The crow went out. The dove returned with the leaf of life. So then, when the Holy Spirit came into my heart, that was the kingdom of heaven. So the love of heavenly things is in me, and my conversation is in heaven, my desire is in heaven, my longing is in heaven. The flesh profiteth nothing, because when you lay this body down in a casket, it won't move, it won't think, it won't speak, it won't see, it won't hear. It's nothing. But that man that lives on the inside is either a worldly man that's interwoven with Lucifer, the god of this world, and Satan is using that human body unto destruction, and it will be turned into hell because it is defiled at the end of the way. Or either Christ, the Holy Spirit, has caused your spirit to pass from that infiltration of worldly lust and things of the world, and is caused by the regeneration or the washing of regeneration. He has caused your spirit to become interwoven with His spirit. And just as the Clorox or the detergent will take the spots out of the garment, so will Christ's Spirit eradicate anything within your personality that's unlike Him. First, on the inside, by translation of your spirit into His Spirit, even the Spirit of Christ, the kingdom of God from within then will begin to administer to your outer man. Coming from within, your genetics, the light will break forth as it did with Stephen, as it did with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, as it did with Moses. And it will break forth from the inside, from glory to glory, from precipitation to precipitation, from revelation to revelation, from understanding to understanding. And the hidden manna will come forth in that you've overcome by faith in Christ, and it will begin to change your blood genetics until you are eternal in your body. This is why I say to be carnally minded is death. If you're carnally minded, then you've got the love of the world and you've got the infiltration within you. You've never been born again. His spirit has never gone on the inside of you. So then to have the spirit of Christ in you is to have eternal life. So I am born of God. I say this, and I'm going to try to find a place to close, because I talked to you a good little bit before I started the ministering year. Still just exhorting you a little bit. But see, we are God's. We are God's. If I'm born of God, then I'm a God. And so many times as to the illustration, that's born of a dog is a dog, and that's born of a cat is a cat, and that's born of a human being is a human being, and that's born of God is a God. I've been born of God. If I'm born of God, then I am a son of God. And gods cannot sin. Gods cannot sin. There's no need of me preaching to you not to sin. Gods can't sin to begin with. When you are saved, when you are born again, you are saved from your sins. That's what He did. He took you away from your sins. You're saved from your sins, which means you can never sin again. And I tell you that if you sin one time from your new birth, there would have to be another Jesus. There'd have to be another crucifixion. And the Bible said you'd have to crucify Christ to flesh, and you'd put Him to an open shame. No person that is born of God can sin. The Bible said he that is born of God cannot sin. For God's seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because his justification is by believing in the righteousness of God. And that seed of God, even Christ, the faith of Christ, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Someone will say, well, I praise God, Brother Pike. I knew drinking that little old beer didn't send me to hell. And I know doing them little old ugly things, I still, that darling of God's, you hypocrite. Let me tell you, you hypocrite. Wishy-washy, up and down, in and out. You've never had anything to start with. That's why you drank the little old beer, and that's why you went back out there in those things. You never had anything to start with. If you've had anything to start with, you'd have stayed away from that kind of stuff. See, it kept you away from that kind of stuff. The Bible said the love of God constrains me. Let me tell you something, folks. As long as you're a sinner and you're out there in the world, as long as you're doing those things out there in the world, God gives you grace, because you don't know any better. And God doesn't charge anything to you. Only in the sense that you've refused to come and accept His Word. If you find His Word, accept His Word, everything that you've ever done is put behind you and put under the blood. See, but when you come to God and you know about God and you learn about God and then you go back out there in those things, you know what you're going to have to do? Every transgression, you're going to pay for it. Every misdemeanor of your life, you're going to pay for it. There will not be one thing that you ever done but what you will pay for it. The Bible said, seeing that the angels who are greater in power and might receive the just recompense of reward for every transgression, how shall ye escape if ye neglect so great salvation? Somebody said, well, I went back out there, Brother Pike. I know the Bible said, but if you'd have been of us, you would no doubt have continued with us. But you went out from us that it might be made manifest that you was not of us. So then, see, there's no problem. There's no confusion. God has everything figured out. Everything is just right. Like when Paul preached to the people, the Bible says as many as were ordained unto eternal life believe. That is, as many as was predestinated unto eternal life, ordained unto eternal life. When Paul preached this gospel, they believed it. They believed it. But the others, the Bible said they did not believe. You know why? Because they did not see. They did not understand. For the Bible said, when good comes, the wicked shall not understand. God ordained that they be blind, that they would not understand, so that they could continue in the world out here. Because He looked down and foresaw that their hearts wouldn't be right. He foresaw that they wouldn't love the truth when they heard it. So then by predestination, He foreordained that they be turned over to reprobate mind, to believe a lie and be damned, to send them strong delusions, that they might believe a lie and be damned. And so then that's where it's at, folks. And the righteous believes, the preordained believes, the predestinated believes, and them that have a heart as to the right desire believes and accepts it. Not to be hypocritical, not to be hypocritical as many of the Jews were, but to be born again, to have God's Spirit, to love righteousness, to love holiness, to have a love for the truth, and to make their body conform to that inner desire of the new birth. When they hear the Word, they believe the Word, it goes down into their heart, and God converts them and saves them, fills them with His Spirit. See, the Word is Spirit and life. And when you take the Word into your heart, you receive the Holy Ghost. That is the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of Christ, even Christ the Word. So then when you just hear it, like some of you hear it, intellectually conceive of it, that doesn't mean anything. Because you are a reflector, and you might even get religious. But when you go outside, you're going to be just as evil as you ever was. When you go outside, you're going to be just as contrary as you ever was. And just as mean as you ever was. Won't be no difference. You'll go right back to the same old hog wallow that you was in to start with. The Bible said after the sow has been washed, she'll go back to her wallowing in the mire. And after the dog has been cleansed, he'll go back to his vomit. So then, you see where we're at, folks? Jesus said we are gods. Gods don't sin. Gods can't sin. Gods are not out there one day as no God and back here another day as God. They don't do that. Gods are objects of worship. The word God means object of worship. The Bible said, I will make them to come and kneel before you, kneel at your feet, and know that I've loved you. And Paul said, they glorified God within me, and a good thing we praise you, Paul said. So then, being gods, you are the temple of the living God, and God dwells on the inside of you. Your spirit with Christ as spirit is now one, and it's no more you living but Christ. It's no more you of the first man Adam, as in Adam all die as to his spirit. But you, by the washing of generation, now belongs to God and the God family, and now ye are gods. Ye are gods. So this is what Jesus meant. The scriptures can't be broken. No need to wrestle with them. If a scripture said it, I don't care if the Methodist said different, the Baptist said different, the Presbyterian said different. It doesn't matter if the Catholics say different, the non-denominational say different, the Pentecostals say different, the UPC, the Church of God, the Assemblies of God. It doesn't matter whether the Brother Branham followers say different, or the Brother Pike followers say different, or the Brother Roberts followers, or the Brother Osmond followers. It doesn't matter. God's Word said it, that settles it. Let all of them be a liar and let God be true. The Scriptures can't be broken. He said, he that is born of God cannot sin. That settles it. It didn't say he may not. It says he cannot. And it says that they are gods, and that settles it. It doesn't matter how much anybody disputes it. They might have been in religion 50 years. But the Word says, he that is born of God, he is a God. And that's what we are, folks. Another thing I'm going to say in closing, not only is it that a God can't sin, but a God can't die. For the sting of death is sin. And where there's no sin, there is no death. So then a God cannot die because a God cannot sin. So then we are gods, and we cannot sin, therefore we cannot die. And this is why Paul said that we're passed from death unto life. And Jesus said, you're passed from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. They that walk in the flesh are under condemnation, but we'll never see condemnation because we are gods. We are gods, and we cannot die because we cannot sin. So then we are eternally alive forevermore. We are coming into the indoctrination of God's Word in this generation. We're coming into this as to know that you're not supposed to be put in a casket. You're not supposed to be put in a casket. You're not supposed to be put in the ground. All that's taken care of. All that's behind us. All these people that's running around out here and saying, bless God, I don't want no religion. I'd rather have my frolics. I'd rather have my good time. Them folks spending all their time just going to church. And that's all it is, listen to that old loudmouth preacher. But folks, that ain't all there is to it. Going to church. We are going to church to miss the grave, not to have to be put in a casket. We're going to church to miss the flames of hell and the devouring indignation of God that would be our adversary if we didn't go to church. And we're going to church because He promised to make us ride upon the high places of the earth and feed us with the heritage of Jacob and make all of our beds in the time of our sickness. He gave us power over all the powers of the enemy that nothing should hurt us. We're going to church because we can be like a tree that's planted by the water to bring forth our fruits and our season and our leaves not wither. See all of these wonderful things and many, many others. And you think that I would trade this for that hog pen that you wallow in and for that dirty, filthy place that you live in and that vomit that you lap, where the Bible speaks of the religious people? All of my tables are full of vomit. Lukewarm people, they don't have my spirit. He said, I spewed them out of my mouth. They're nothing but vomit. And He spoke of a whole generation being like that, sinful and adulterous. This generation of young boys and girls, as well as men and women, marrying one time, two times, numbers of times, they are a sinful generation. They dress in their clothing to where you'll lust after their body. They're burned in their lust till they can't even cover up their bodies. They're lustful. They lust one after another. Continually in their minds. They feed off of the things that cause them to be like that. The billboards, the movies, everything is filled with it to make a sinful, adulterous generation. But he that is born of God, he's not sinful. Neither is he adulterous. He is a God. He is holy. He is pure. He's without spot. He's without blemish. For the Bible said he keepeth himself. He hath the power over all the powers of the enemy. He keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. Toucheth him not. So then you're without spot. Jesus is coming back after church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Let's stand together. I just felt like exhorting you just a little bit this morning on these things. Folks, you might say these things are strong. You might say too strong for me. Well, like the Bible said, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, let us go unto a full reward. And the Bible said some walk in the light of the city. Some dwell in the city. Some live right in the city. They are the bride. They are the light. They are the glorious stones that make up the city. They are the light. They're the light. And of course, the Lamb is the light of that city. But the radiance of that light of the Lamb comes through those lively stones and coming through penetrates and creates and throws a light around the earth, the new earth. And some walk in the light of that city. So if you want to be His bride, you better get His spirit.
My wife took on my spirit. Sad to say, some wives don't take on their husband's spirit. And then even if a wife does take on the spirit in the day we're living in, she's about 30-fold sometimes. She's about 60-fold in her own mind and upset and out of sorts and wrestling and fighting with it. And maybe 30% of her life she'll calm down and do what you ask her or try to be one with you. But anyway, when you marry a woman, God unites the spirit with your spirit. And her spirit is supposed to be 100%, a full reward. She's supposed to be 100% with you. And of course, that's difficult, especially in the day we're living in. It's difficult for a woman to conform to a man like that, because the man sometimes ain't but about 30-fold himself with God. And he's in such a mess that if she was 100% surrendered to him, she'd be in a mess. So that's the way it is, folks. That's the way the situation is. But the man is supposed to be 100% with God as to a surrender of his spirit. And the wife is supposed to be 100% with that man's spirit. And it's just supposed to be one. Father, make these one even as we're one. They're supposed to be one. The children are supposed to be obedient and submissive. Then you can have a happy home. But remember, God won't join darkness to light. Man or woman, if both of you aren't Christians, He won't join your spirits together. He'll make allowance by sanctification of the flesh, as I've said, as to the believer, the unbeliever being sanctified by the believer, that you can have a home, but your spirits aren't joined together. If the unbeliever depart, then brother or sister, let him depart. That is a false brother or sister. Let him depart. A brother or sister, true brother or sister, is not under bondage in such case, because God never bound them together in sorrow. A lot to be said about that subject. I like to think things over. I like to meditate in the laws of God day and night. I want this eternal life. You know, when I was a real young man, I had my first experience in the Methodist Church when I was a... Well, I had my first experience as a little boy. Just a little bitty boy. No, 8, 10 years old. I don't know how old I was. And then my church experience in the Methodist Church when I was still a young boy, but I was one of my teens. And then I had an experience still in my teens at a Baptist church. And then after that, I had a Pentecostal experience at a Pentecostal church. And then, of course, after that, I went strictly non-denominational. I pulled out of all the churches because I saw the infiltration. And I was looking for the truth, and I was satisfied in them until I outgrew them. I grew on. I saw that they didn't want to go on to the truth. I came to certain places and they were stunted like dross. I saw that they couldn't help it. One measure, 30-fold, 60-fold, whatever. And I went on with the Lord to come into the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. To be ye therefore perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. And to learn to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. To bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And I come to the gifts, and I come to the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus, and the real things, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And today I'm happy. I'm happy. I don't know how you are, but I'm happy. And I'm satisfied. It's hard to find satisfied people in the world. They're just not satisfied. But folks, so help me God, I'm satisfied. Like the song said, a satisfied mind, I've got a satisfied spirit, a satisfied mind, a satisfied heart. It doesn't mean I don't have problems. It don't mean that I don't have interruptions. Paul said, in my heart is continual sorrow, cause of the children, the different ones, and loved ones. But it doesn't matter. I'm satisfied. I'm happy. I'm thoroughly convinced. Not double-minded. Not looking for something else. Somebody says, well, I'm looking for something. Well, I ain't looking for nothing. I've already got it. I look to grow greater and bigger and more mightier in what I've received. Okay, let's sing a little chorus together. Every promise in the book
circuit is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Sing it with me. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in His Word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in God's book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine.
Let's have a word of prayer for the sick while we're here this morning. Brother Gary, I can tell he's not feeling good at all. Let's pray and ask God to touch Gary and some of the others. They're sick. As a matter of fact, if you're having problems, why don't you just step up here in front of the altar? That way, give you a chance to exercise your faith as to showing that you believe. And we'll pray over you. If you'd like to have our prayers this morning, you just come on down here and stand in front of the altar. We'll pray for you. Folks, don't betray the Lord. Don't betray the Lord. Whatever you do, don't betray the Lord. Don't be like Judas. I don't care what you've got. God's given it to you. Your money, your health, your happiness, your appearance, whatever it is, God will give it to you. Praise God and use your substance for God. Use your body for God. The Bible said the body is the Lord's. Use it for God. Whatever you do, use it for Christ. Don't hold back, folks. Why don't we all just come? Seems like about everybody did come anyway. You know, it never hurts for all of us to respond, to come to God, because you might need His blessings. You might need His protection. The Bible said the rain on the just and the unjust. Therefore, let everything that hath breath praise God, that it might save you from death. You can't ever tell. Plane crash. Car crash. While we're all gathered around, thinking about Jesus, the wonderful love of God, I love to pray for you. I love to bless you. I have the power to bless you. I have the power to curse you. And I don't mean by that to curse God's people. The Bible said you can't curse what God has blessed. You can't make straight what God has made crooked. Can't do that. But if you don't line up with the Lord, and if you're not straight, you won't walk with the Lord, then I have the power to curse you. And I must, of necessity, through Christ, curse you so that you won't be blessed in the day of the judgment. Have the power to bind your sins to you or to remit your sins. The Bible said that whosoever sins he remits shall be remitted. Whosoever sins he retains shall be retained. That that's bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. That that's loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. But any man of God wants to bless the people of God. For one thing, what daddy or mother would like to curse the children? But nevertheless, if a child doesn't do right, then comes the chastisement. For the Bible said, for this thing comes the wrath of God upon them, the children of disobedience. All that God has, He chastises. And He's not lost in one of them. We get the idea this was a good person, that was a Christian, and this one over here, they're such a wonderful person, and then they fell away and they were lost when they were saved. There's no such confusion as that with God. There ain't never been nobody saved that was lost. There ain't never been nobody lost that was saved. Jesus said, Father, I've not lost to one of them except or saving the son of perdition. Predestinated from the beginning, but said, before he was born, let another his bishopric take. See, there's no such thing as you being lost if you're one of God's children, one of the predestinated. You might stumble, you might stagger, you might have problems. You might run into perplexities and bewilderments of life, but that doesn't mean that you're lost. See, His grace is sufficient. Where there sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. Where you're having compound problems, God gives compound grace. He just increases His grace a little. And you say, oh my God, Lord, I made a mistake. I wouldn't have done that for nothing. I was doing my best. And the grace you had doesn't seem sufficient. He says, that's all right. I'll give you another happy. You've got a double potion of grace right now to take care of that, to swallow that up. But folks, you will be chastened. The Bible said, he that judgeth himself hath no need to be judged. If you judge yourself, you don't have any need to be judged. God doesn't have to judge you. Therefore, you're not chastened. See, because you judge yourself. You fast, you pray, you repent, you ask forgiveness. See, but now, when you don't judge yourself, and you're loose, and you say, ah, a little bit of Six Flags won't hurt me, and a little bit of frolics down the beach won't hurt me, and a little bit of beer, and I can nip on the California cooler a little bit, and, you know, you understand? Just a little bit of gossip is going to hurt me too much, and a little bit of backbiting, and a little bit of slipshod, you know, just be a little bit loose, and instead of going to church, I'll go over here to a singing, or I'll go over here to the frolics, or I'll go over here and work, make me another dollar. A little bit of that won't hurt me. But the little leaven, whether you believe it or not, finally leavened the whole lump. Staying out of church a little bit, missing service is not too bad. But the little leaven leavened the whole lump. Staying out of church to go do other things. It doesn't matter what it is. Somebody said, well, you're just picking on somebody going to the singings. No, I'm not picking on it because I got a number of them I could pick on if I'd done that. I'm not picking on them. I'm talking about them that go to the singings. I'm talking about them that go to the huntings. I'm talking about them that go to the frolic. I'm talking about them that go to work. I'm talking about all of them. Anytime you put God off for anything, you're in trouble. If Jesus told a man one time, said, you can't bury a dead father, you go preach the gospel. And Abraham laid his son on the altar, you can be sure God is going to take your excuse, nor my excuse. You be sure of that. So, I'm just trying to help you keep from getting caught in the snare. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. Maybe some won't tell you the truth, but I'm trying to tell you the truth. Paul said, I tell you the truth, I become your enemy. I tell you the truth, you don't like me anymore because you like to do what you want to do. But if you was of the Lord, you'd love me. So then there's not going to be any sons of God lost. There's not going to be any daughters of the Lord lost. Won't be none of them lost. We're God's. There's no way you can die. There's no way you can be lost. No way you can go to hell. No way you can sin. No way anything can happen to you. So you don't have to worry. But you that are playing around with God, no more than believers, you're in trouble. You might be a believer and not having received the Spirit of God yet. And if you hold on, you'll get it. If you'll be faithful, you'll get it. But at the same time, there's a good possibility that you might be a hypocrite too. And you're just using your believing like Satan just to be with the children of God. And really and truly, you're a hypocrite. So if you've got His Spirit, you'll live like Him. You'll talk like Him. You'll walk like Him. You'll think like Him. The things you look at, you'll want to look at things like Him. Anything that hath any virtue in them, be lovely, be pure, you want to think on those things. You'll want your mind and thoughts, every thought into subjection to Him. All right, let's lift our hands up together. I appreciate you, every one of you. And I tell you over and over these things, so if you didn't get it last time, you'll get it this time. And Peter said, even though I know that you know these things because I've told you, yet I feel it, you know, I feel that I should stir up your pure mind, which is the mind of Christ, and bring this back to your remembrance. Back to your remembrance. Even though you already know it. The Bible says you can let them slip. Give heed. More heed. The end time, there'll be seducing spirits, which means thoughts, doctrines of devils, seducing spirits in the latter times. And folks, all kind of religious thoughts is coming to you. Mike was just telling me today, he said over there, said, Brother Branham's following. He said, Brother Pike. He said, man, that's just one and another. And he just kept naming them with their two-soul doctrine. And some doctrine that Brother Branham resurrected on the third day. And he told all kind of doctrines that they have. split up like splinters. The church of God is the same way. They've got all kind of ideas in the church of God. The Assemblies of God, the UPC, all split up. I talked to them, and they've got all kind of doctrines. Just split up like splinters. Non-denominational, all kind of doctrines. Catholics, all kind of doctrines. Communists, even talk to them, all kind of doctrines. They all split up. They don't get along. Everything, see, it's all split up like splinters. So, think it over. Think it over. Examine yourselves. Make sure that you're in the faith. Faith by the hearing of the word. Believing won't save you, but faith will. Faith is by the hearing of the word. When you believe the word, hear the word, believe the word, do the word, then that means His Spirit is in your heart. While you're standing here, I'm going to ask my brother to come up. Felt like doing this, so I think I'm going to do it. A lot of folks question what I do. But I'm going to ask little Gary to come up here and dismiss us. Little Gary, he has been carrying on work like a man. He's a single boy. He thinks nothing about giving $100 to the work of the Lord. The other night, men's meeting, where some of you men pinched 25, 10, whatever, for which I'm very grateful, if it wasn't nothing but a penny. But I'm just making a comparison. You make a lot of money, and you can't do year after year, but little Gary, you don't think nothing about giving $100. You come up and give $100 in the offering. I don't mean just one time. While the rest of you put it in the flesh and in the natural, and you prepare, that's the thing to do. Jesus spoke of a steward being wise. When his master rejected him, he went out and made way with the creditors so they'd receive him. And Jesus said one time, so that's wise. Go ahead and make preparation for the flesh and for the things of the world, that when the Lord hath rejected you, they may receive you in everlasting habitation. Wherever your treasures are, that's where your heart is. Do whatever you want to. Do all that so that you'll have a place, because He's going to reject you. He's going to reject you. But to them that love the Lord and doing their best, whether it's a little bit, it's the widow, or whether it's a lot, whatever it is, whether you're trying to be holy and godly or just hypocriting around, think it over. If you're just religious and temperamental, then you're hypocritical. The Bible said, if any man seem to be religious, any man among them, and bridleth not his tongue, that man's religion is in vain. So if you've got a loose tongue, all of your religious activity is in vain. It's not going to profit you anything.